In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Advent is a beautiful time when Christians consider the coming of Christ. This observance always ends with the celebration of Christmas, but it's also an observance that reminds us that this is the year that Christmas might not actually come. As we pray things like, "Come, Lord Jesus," or sing things like, O come, Emmanuel," we are confessing the hope that is at the heart and center of the Christian life, that Christ would finally come with his holy angels and gather and raise the dead and gather all those who belong to him, including us, to himself in heaven. Advent, then, isn't really an annual reenactment that simply ends at the manger, but it is a preparation for the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. With this in mind, we will look at the promises our God made about the coming of Jesus and what those promises mean for today and for our future hope in the return of Christ. As I mentioned earlier, this first promise that we will consider this evening is the promise that God made to Abram. In our Old Testament reading, God said this: "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." There's a great deal to deal with in just these few verses. First, God called Abram to leave his country, his family, and most especially his father's house. What we do not hear in this text in particular is that although Abram was descended from faithful Shem, or faithful Seth rather, the son of Adam, the church had all but vanished in the days of Abram. Indeed, later on in the Pentateuch, Joshua says this of Abram: "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods." In short, Abram, when he was called by God, was not a worshiper of the true God of Israel, but he was an idolater, worshiping other gods. The question becomes, why would God call out such a man for such an immense blessing, not the least of which is the promise that from Abram's line would come Christ, who is our Savior Jesus? This is what St. Paul in Ephesians 3 might call the unsearchable riches of Christ. In the same way that God called Abram out of idolatry to be the father of Jesus, and Paul out of murdering and persecuting Christians into the office of apostle, God in his unsearchable riches calls out all sinners out of their idolatry that they are born into his marvelous light. This then is a picture of how God called each of you out of darkness into his marvelous light through your baptism into Christ. This is so that all who are faint-hearted and fearsome, who are tempted to despair because of their sins, might find comfort and encouragement in God's mercy toward them, rather than looking inwardly and for self-improvement, and thus find salvation inside. This, dear friends in Christ, shows us that Jesus is the Savior, but the Savior of sinners. And his kindness towards us is limitless. It also prevents us from becoming puffed up, as if we were responsible for inviting Jesus into our hearts. And so the call of Abram from idolatry halts both despair and pride. The second promise that God made to Abram, was that he would make him into a great nation. Certainly, we see this in the increase of Abram's family from the time of what we read in Genesis chapter 12 where Abram's house consists of his wife, his nephew, and some of his servants, to where we find the children of Abraham when they get into Egypt in Exodus chapter 1. There, we learn that there are more than 600,000 men who are descended from Abram, not including the women and children. Some scholars actually estimate that there were as many as 2.4 million descendants of Abram who left Egypt in the Exodus. Even today, the number of Hebrew people in the world is not an insignificant number. Although nations and peoples have risen and fallen, the physical descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people, are still numerous today. But what does God say about the children of Abram in the New Testament? Well, John the Baptizer says to the Jews in his day that God is able to raise from stones sons of Abraham. This is our first hint that the inheritance of God's riches aren't simply passed through bloodlines and birthrights. In fact, St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." That means that again, by baptism, you are made children of Abraham by faith. This means that the part of God's promise to Abram included his call to you into the Christian faith. Even before you were yet conceived and born, God planned for your salvation through the promises that he made to our father Abram. And finally, God's promise to Abram says that those who curse Abram will be cursed, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through him. The curses are quite easy to see. All of the great enemies of God's people from the scriptures, Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, Greece, and finally Rome, where are those powers today? Indeed, many empires have fallen because of their hatred toward the church. We can also see the promise of blessing already being fulfilled in the call of Abram because his nephew Lot followed after Abram, even though he was not called. Lot followed Abram into this land that God had promised to give to him, and God gave Lot many riches and blessings. Likewise, we see in Exodus how God blesses the Egyptian midwives because they do not take part in Pharaoh's plot to murder the Jewish boys. And we see again later on in the book of Joshua how God blesses Rahab as she helps the Israelite spies out of Jericho before the fall of that city. But this portion of the promise, dear friends in Christ, has for us the greatest significance today. Certainly, we are a people with enemies. The devil hates the church, and he will not rest to bring about her downfall. The world finds in our flesh a willing accomplice to try to tempt us into sin. But through the promise given here to Abram, God assures us that he will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. We ought to then, in our Bibles, highlight these words in gold. And we should translate them and shout them in every single language note that is known to man. For this blessing is fulfilled in none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God himself. Dear friends in Christ, this means that the promise of the Savior, which is here given to Abram, is here also given to you. Let me repeat that. This is a blessing for all of the families of the earth. If your family is from the earth, then this promise is for you. We find a beautiful companion to this promise in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This great promise, which is received by faith, is given to the whole world. None are excluded from this invitation to salvation. Therefore, dear friends, salvation does not depend on us, not even the littlest bit. All of it depends on Christ, who has blessed us by his coming as the true man through the line of Abram. When we bear the cross that is laid upon us in this life, our comfort comes only from him. When we pray, we are heard because of him. When we are attacked by the world and the evil one, our protection is found in him. And when we die, our rest is in him. And finally, on the last day, when we stand before the judge, we will receive the blessing of eternal life from him. And so, as we stand here at the beginning of this Advent season, let us pray that the Lord Jesus would grant this to us, that in him we might remain steadfast until the end. In Jesus' name, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.